Welcome to the WGRT Local News Podcast, connecting you to Michigan's Thumb Coast. I'm your host, Jesse Wiegand, and today we're talking with Ryan D. Kelly, candidate for governor of the state of Michigan.
Ryan, welcome to the WGRT Local News Podcast. You are running for governor of Michigan. So let's just start with having you share what sets you apart from the other Republican candidates in this primary.
Great question. Good to be here with you today. You know, as we approach the primary election, I think that's a question that's on everyone's mind is what is the difference between the candidates? You know, John Adams gave a quote that said, "Stand on principle, even if you stand alone." And I think over the last couple of months, there's been some things that have happened that have really shined some light on the difference between the candidates. And one of those instances is the Mackinac Policy Conference, where the Detroit Chamber wanted for the event, everyone that attended to show their vaccine identification cards or take COVID tests in order to gain access to the door. And for the gubernatorial debate, they didn't require that medical infringement there, but they moved everybody outside. They didn't allow them to come inside the event with everyone else. And I chose to boycott that event because, you know, I stand for medical freedom and I'm not going to allow the left to segregate anyone. I think that that's wrong. And so I stood there on principle and said, look, I'm going to bypass the TV cameras and bypass the opportunity to debate, to do the right thing. And I encouraged the other four candidates to join me in that boycott to say, hey, look, we need to move past all of this vaccine requirements, mandates, and these COVID requirements here. They're not required anywhere else in the state. And so the other four chose to go up there, and I chose to boycott that. And that's one of the biggest differences there. Also, I have an actual 100-day plan that's been announced since December of 2021, December 15th, we announced that. And I know some of the other candidates, they have positions that they stand on, but they don't have like an actual 100-day plan as the way I have laid out. So a couple of big differences there, standing on principle and having an actual written plan that people can follow along with and actually hold me accountable to do.
Yeah, and I saw the first 100 days plan on your website and kind of moved around there a lot and looked at some of the information. One of the things that caught my attention was that under your policies, the first one is respect for our constitutions. And, you know, I would love you to clarify a little bit that point, because I feel like this is something that a lot of politicians say, yet everyone has a different way of interpreting the Constitution. So what does that statement mean to you?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think so many people are looking through a different lens of where our government is supposed to operate and what the defines of the Constitution looks like. First of all, we all know that we have a United States Constitution, mm-hmm. and that is the supreme law of the land. That's what, you know, over the entire country, all the states is set to operate. But Michigan also has its own Constitution. And in our Michigan Constitution, it sets out a different set of rules, if you will. States have, with the 10th Amendment, the opportunity to create a lot of their own policies and their own positions that are not granted to the federal government. Those are reserved for the states. So when we talk about respecting our Constitution, you know, we've seen over the last couple of years, especially here in Michigan, where the current governor has overstepped her constitutional authority. She has violated individual rights. You know, we have delegated a lot of power to these bureaucracies, and these bureaucracies, they statutorily have the authority to, you know, limit assembly, which is a right given to us in the Constitution by God. Those are God-given rights protected by the Constitution, and, you know, a variety of other components of the Constitution that were overstepped. And even the Supreme Court of Michigan ruled 7-0 that Gretchen Whitmer overstepped her authority in use of the 1945 law. That was a violation of the Constitution. So I think it comes back to some basic things here that, number one, the government's number one job is to protect the individual rights and uphold the Constitution. That's what your oath is. Mm-hmm. And we see where there's a large group of politicians that, you know, they bypass that unless it fits their agenda. And I believe that needs to stop. Our country is a republic. We are not a democracy. And in a republic, doesn't matter what letters behind your name, you go there to uphold the Constitution as written, not as you interpret it or as you would like it.
Yeah. And you mentioned the way Governor Whitmer handled the situation with the pandemic. And I'm going to kind of put you a little bit on the spot because I haven't asked anyone this question so directly yet, but I have heard from other people running that, you know, they had concerns or disagreements with how Whitmer ran things. And I'm going to ask you specifically, what would you have done differently? Like, that's such an unusual and unique circumstance to have to face as a governor. So if you were in her shoes and you were the governor of Michigan, when we received this information that there's this, you know, virus spreading all over, blah, 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 what would you have done? How would you have handled that?
That is a great question. And I'll start off by saying that, you know, when we look back on something like this, it is easy to criticize, and it is easy to say, well, oh, this is how I would have done those things.
Right.
And I want to look through a different lens as well. So I want to talk about that, but also talk about what it might look like moving forward. So I could talk about, you know, actions that potentially could be taken moving forward as well, because mm-hmm. I think that's important on what that would look like. So looking back, yes, I believe, Whitmer unilaterally took control from her perspective, violated, different areas of the Constitution, didn't work with the legislature, and she used executive orders to try to control the people, which is not how executive orders are set to operate. That's not what they're intended for. So when we look back, first and foremost, individual risk assessment. What I mean by that is, people have to be empowered with information to make the best decisions for themselves. And we look at one thing that was done as well, and this is still happening. I spoke with a medical doctor the other day, whether or not, we don't have to have a debate here, but, very early on, things like hydroxychloroquine were mentioned as potential great, uses for this. They could potentially be beneficial. And that was shut down here in the state of Michigan. You're not allowed to use that. Can't do that. And then licensing and regulatory affairs threatened doctors and pharmacies that prescribed these for decades now, safe medications. That they were not allowed to prescribe them, or they were going to be threatened to lose their licenses. That can't happen. We need to allow the doctors to prescribe these effective treatments to their patients if they see fit. And so that's one thing that I would have done totally differently, is I would have said, hey, let's talk with some doctors here. What are the side effects of this? What are the benefits of this? And aim to utilize that versus shutting it down. That was shut down, and it's still being shut down. I'm still talking with medical doctors that are having a tough time prescribing these unless they're prescribing it for something other than COVID, mm-hmm. which, in itself is an entire different discussion of, well, why can you prescribe it for one thing but not for the other? And so things like ivermectin popped up, and, there's potential benefits there. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, stepping into those grounds of, what's beneficial, what's not, what's needed for what patient, what's not. But I know that if we would have allowed those things that are now showing in some instances that there's huge benefits there, we probably would have had a much less rate of death. Potentially. And so we would have allowed things like that to be prescribed and for doctors to be able to look at these different treatments. We would have allowed businesses to stay open and have, empower them with information to know whether or not, they were at higher risk and, ways to make decisions that would be based, on the science and still allow them to earn a living. And still allow them to be able to operate their businesses. We weren't empowered with information by Gretchen. We were just told things are dangerous, things are bad, stay in your house, stay safe, we got this handled. And nobody really truly knew what was going on. It was just we have the information, just trust us that we're making the right decisions. And that is not a a good end result, because we have to trust the people and empower them with that information.
So going forward, one of the first things in your 100-day plan is that the pandemic is over. So I guess in terms of how you would handle things moving forward, I would love to say that COVID's not going to be an issue. It's not going to be a deadly virus that it causes a widespread, horrible outcome, like they thought could happen in the beginning. But what going forward is your plan for dealing with the rest of the pandemic or a future pandemic?
What we see happening now, there's not a whole lot going on in regard to COVID right now. People are not, dying in large numbers from it. We see that it's continued to drop off. I mean, look at places like Florida that have had, no issue or mandates, or, they've respected the freedoms for a year plus now, whatever it is. I'm not even sure the time frame on it, but it's been months. And there's no issues there. So we're not seeing this, this pandemic of people just, falling over in the streets, or, how they originally had tried to bring the whole, I guess I go back to thinking of like over in the very start in China where people were falling over in the streets. I mean, we've never seen anything like that happen. Mm-hmm. And so, dealing with this, kind of goes back to the two components that I discussed there with empowering with information, number one. And then, there's now what we see effective treatments out there, and allowing these doctors to step in and help to provide some of these treatments. And, moving forward, we don't know what we're going to be exposed to as far as viruses. We don't know things that are going to happen. And, there's always an instance where, we could be taken off guard, obviously, and things need to be decided on quickly. And what that, might look like in regard to a pandemic, or what that might look like in regard to, some sort of a needed reaction to, kind of curb whatever catastrophe might be happening. So, we could come up all day long with different, scenarios of what might happen. But I think at the end of the day, we have to understand that, the Constitution doesn't go on hold for these things, because if we start putting the Constitution on hold for whether a real or a perceived emergency, that can lead to a lot of detrimental things. We don't need to move to a society that is based on safety and security from the government. We need to move to a society that's based on freedom, liberty from the government, and empower people to become safe and secure on their own accord.
But I do see that there are some other things that are really important to you. So before I go, I know we spent a lot of time talking about the pandemic, but before we go, I'd love you to just maybe hit on a couple other key things that you'd like these voters to know about you that sets you apart.
Yeah, and I appreciate the discussion that we've had, Jesse, and you've asked some good questions. I think that shines some light on some inside decision making processes of myself, and you see what voters resonate with. So good job there. And then, I point back to the 100-day plan that you had already mentioned there, found on my website, ryandkelly.com. You can review all the different points. Education, economy, these are obviously things that matter to all of us. Those are really some of the big kitchen table issues. And, we see rolling blackouts coming our way. I'm a strong proponent of nuclear energy for us to be able to provide clean, effective, abundant, reliable, inexpensive electricity to attract not only companies, but provide homeowners with abundant electricity. This year we're talking about not even being able to use your air conditioner because rolling blackouts coming as we shut down nuclear power plants and consumers' energy wants to go coal free by 2025. The education system, we're going a very bad direction with our education system. We see that we're spending more money, right? Whitmer's wanting to make the largest investment in public education ever in American history. But in all reality, we still have, especially in the Detroit area, we have, third graders, some even in high school, that don't know how to sign their name, that don't know how to read. So is making these largest investments as enrollment, it's at its lowest, and confidence in our public school is at its lowest. Is this investment going to the right spot, or does it just sound good? I'm a big proponent of the money following the student and empowering the parents with options and empowering them with the ability to help direct their students' future of or their children's future, our students, to be provided the very best education to lead to prosperity in our state. You know, this idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion that we see in our schools, it's a horrible idea. And I say that because diversity and inclusion are beautiful words. You want to have, you know, diverse cultures, diverse mentalities, diverse ideas, diverse groups of people. You know, you want a diverse garden, diverse flowers. I mean, those are beautiful words. Inclusion, to not be bullying people or excluding them, including them, building them up. You know, but what I see from this DEI curriculum is that, you know, it's literally aimed to silence voices like mine. I go to school boards and I talk in groups of, you know, and they're even, you know, they got the DEI and their cardboard and their stuff, the signs that they're holding up, and they try to interrupt me and heckle me and clown me, and we don't want to hear from you. And I'm just thinking, like, how inclusive is that? And so, you know, I think it's doing the opposite of what the unity that we need in our country and in our schools is doing. And so, you know, I've taken some pretty big, bold stances on that as well. I mean, that's a couple of things. I mean, I could go on there, but I encourage people to visit my 100-day plan, follow me on social media, and take a further look into some of my stances. Or if they have more questions, you know, come see me at a live event and ask some questions.
Thank you so much. And like you said, RyanDKelly.com is your website, and there's a ton of information there for our listeners to go and check out and learn more about you and your campaign. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate being here. Have a good day.
Thanks for joining me today on the WGRT Local News Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Wiegand, and it's been a pleasure connecting you to Michigan's Thumb Coast.